Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
So the parable of the wedding feast, this is a very interesting one, you may know it. Let me read it to you. Again, a parable is like an allegory. An allegory is like a story which portrays a truth. Okay, so Jesus spoke a lot in parables to help the hearer understand, and also that some people who thought they understand couldn't understand the parables. It's very interesting. Anyway, so let me read it to you. Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention. And they went off, one to his field and another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them and killed them. The king was enraged and he sent his army, and he destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go into the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot, throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Wow. I'm sure you've read this before. And on the surface, we could say that's a harsh story. So we're going to have to look at this, okay? We're going to have to look at this in context. We're going to have to look at this in the culture of when it was written, okay? Yes?
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Vic. So let's first of all look at the main actors. Let's think of this as a short film. And let's think about the main actors in this story. First of all, put your hands up if you've ever been to what's called a wedding. Have you ever been? So most people have been. Okay, good. Yeah, so we know what we're talking about when it comes to a wedding. I don't need to explain what a wedding is. So here are the main actors. So we got the king. The king is God the Father in the story. Yes? The son in the story is Jesus. The servants in the story are those who spread the good news about Jesus in the past. And if even us right now, if we talk about Jesus to people who don't know him, we are also the servants. And the prophets down the ages, they're the servants too. Now the first invited guests, okay, are the Jews. God's chosen people. And those who are invited after, those ones in the streets and the highways, are everyone else, like us. Okay, so very interesting story. And the message is this. This is a message of the parable. There's a wedding celebration. You are invited. Will you come? Can we say that together? Because this is very important. There is a wedding celebration. You are invited. Will you come? That's a good test on there, isn't it? Because it's slightly different. So this is a picture of the invitation to eternal life with God in heaven and glory, okay? So again, a parable is a picture to teach us of a greater truth. And the truth is that this whole story is about the invitation to all mankind to eternal life. So let's have a look at the culture when this was written, okay? So this is how it would happen. Okay, so nowadays, if you're invited to a wedding, what you will probably get through the post is a little card in an envelope, which invites you personally or your family to the wedding, which will probably take place in summer when it might not rain. And it will invite you on this particular Saturday, probably, and it will be months ahead. Give you plenty of notice, yes? And it will say who's getting married. That shouldn't be a surprise because you know them. And where it will take place and maybe the thing afterwards, which is called a... Pardon?
Wake.
No, that's a funeral. Yeah? I shouldn't put out stuff like this, should I? Always goes wrong. So maybe I heard wrong. Sorry, Cheryl. Yeah. So... But in the culture of this day, it was slightly different, okay? So an invitation went out long before the date, just the same. But on that date, when the invitation went out, they would immediately agree to go, okay? This is a shame and honour culture. So it's an honour to be invited to a wedding. So they would say, yes, yes, I would love to go. This is a long time before the wedding. But then on the very day, okay, they would also send servants out. People would come to your house and say, okay, now's the time, come to the wedding. It's ready, the food's ready, come on down. They wouldn't send you a text. They would come personally to your house and say, today's the day, now is the time, come on down. The food is ready, the wedding is ready, come. Okay? All things are ready, so please come. Now, can you imagine, especially in this culture, imagine it, what a huge disgrace it would be not to come when you're invited. When someone comes to your door and says, okay, you said you can come, now's the time, are you ready, can you come? Sorry. See, in the story, it says that one went to his field. Well, what's that in today's culture? Well, no, I'm a bit busy at work, I've got a lot going on. So, no, I don't think I'll make it today. Another was very interested in his business. Again, it's the same sort of thing. So it's the things of this world which stop them going to the wedding. Okay? Now, this very much speaks to me because, you know, I was married quite some time. Vic knows exactly what I'm going to say. You know, I've been married quite some time, and I worked as a market trader, and your main... business day is a Saturday, okay? So I would work 5 days a week, 4 days a week out there on the market, sometimes have days buying and things like that, but my main day was Saturday. That would be the day of my main business where I would make probably 70% of the money that I would make all week. Now, obviously, Saturday is the main day for people to get married. So we would find, being at the age that we were, that lots of people were getting married in those days, in their late 20s, early 30s, and I couldn't go to any of them, yeah? I couldn't go to any of these weddings. It looked like I was just being plain rude. I would say, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to be able to make it because, you know, it's my best business day. And it's like, well, surely, you know, surely going to our wedding is better than... You know, but we weren't very wealthy at all, were we? And we needed the money, but... And it also got me in a lot of trouble with Vic, because she would go on her own and look like a single woman. And it just wasn't great. It was tough, wasn't it, Vic? I mean, maybe it was just tough for me.
I forgot about it, but you brought it all back.
Yeah. So, yeah, the blood covers that. But I'm just telling you, these were really tough. Really, it was really tough and really awkward, and it looked like I was so rude. I wasn't rude. I was supplying for my family, okay? Anyway... Maybe I shouldn't use that illustration. God's invitation. So God's invitation is, my son is marrying his bride, you are invited. Now, I'm sure you, in your life, if you belong to the Lord, if you would call yourself a Christian, I'm sure that you have given that message to someone in your life up to now, while you've been a Christian. Not in maybe in those words, but you have maybe said to someone, this is the way to salvation, that Jesus is the one who saves. And this is really an invitation. You're bringing an invitation to people, and you're saying, God's son is marrying his bride, the church, and you are invited. That is evangelism, okay? And God has been inviting people for thousands of years. Just imagine that. Thousands of years. See, I'll just take you to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 says these wonderful words. Somewhere, right at the back. Here we go. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, listen to this. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you. He is patient with you, listen, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? So that this is why we're called to spread this invitation about this wedding that's coming up, because God doesn't want anyone not to come to the wedding. He doesn't want anyone, as you heard in the end of the parable, to be thrown out, to be excluded. He wants everyone to be saved. So what does this teach us about God? It teaches us that he's patient, yes? He's loving. Me and Bola were just chatting about the goodness of God this morning, how great he is, and patient and loving and kind and caring and forgiving. Please don't think that God is harsh. He gives us every chance to find him. So the past servants, let's just have a think. Use our imagination with this most wonderful of parables. Who have been the servants who have passed up to now? Again, this is all Christians. But who have been the servants who have passed that we can read about in the Bible? Well, of course, these are the prophets, such as Abraham was a prophet. He was a servant of God who gave the message as he went from town to town and nearly went into the promised land. Daniel, as he was in Babylon, also brought the invitation. Amos, Ezekiel, Elijah, Isaiah. So much of Isaiah is all about the invitation to the wedding. Ezra. Right up to, what about John the Baptist? John the Baptist called people into the desert to be baptized, and he invited people to the wedding. Do you understand? This wasn't an invitation to a definite wedding. This is an invitation to salvation, which is the wedding. And Jesus himself, his whole ministry was inviting people to the wedding. And then we've got the Apostle Paul, we've got all the apostles, and then as we come into our era, we've got like Billy Graham. Remember, if you're sure, maybe seen it on the videos of him in sports stadiums. Basically what he was doing was giving the message of salvation, inviting people to come to the wedding. And they came up in their thousands. Have you ever seen the videos on YouTube? In football stadiums in this country, in America, right around the world. And then what about us? Every time, as I said before, every time we talk about Jesus to someone who doesn't know him, we are giving them an invitation to the wedding that is coming up. Will they take it? Have you accepted the invitation? Because even right now, there is an invitation for everyone in this room, if you've not accepted it yet, to go to a wedding. And what a wedding that will be. But what were the responses, as I said before? Well, business, I want to go to my field. What have been the responses down the thousands of years to these prophets? Well, a whole lot of rejection has taken place. Many of these prophets have been murdered, such as Jeremiah. Ezekiel was murdered. John the Baptist was beheaded. What does that do to God? Well, the parable says that this makes God incredibly angry. You can understand that, can't you? When he sends his servants to send a very precious message of his heart, and his servants get murdered, it makes God angry. And in the story, in the parable, it talks about the fact that he sent his army and burned the city. Wow. Just want to take you over. We haven't got a slide for this, but I just want to take you over to the Gospel of Luke. And this is very, very, very important time in Jesus' ministry. And it's Luke chapter 9, verse 19, sorry, Luke 19, verses 41. This is where Jesus, he's spoken to his people, the Jews, time and time again, with only a few believing. And this is Jesus' heart. As he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Isn't that amazing? Before it happened, Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem because they didn't recognize who Jesus was. Jesus invited the city to the wedding and they refused. And he says, "Well, I'm telling you the way of salvation. If you do not accept it, there are terrible times coming. I'm trying to give you the way of salvation. If you don't accept it, there are other things coming." And sure enough, if you know your history, this is amazingly interesting. It wasn't long after Jesus was crucified in AD 70. The Jews of Jerusalem rose up against the rulers, who were the Romans, and they rose up against their rule. They got sick and tired of the Romans ruling them heavily, and so they rose up against them. What happened? Well, Nero, who was the emperor at that time, sent Vespasian into Jerusalem and flattened it. Flattened it. That was Solomon's temple that was flattened on that day. Jesus spoken about not one stone will lay on another. And sure enough, Vespasian flattened the city. I want to ask you, just when God says and warns us about things, should we take notice? We really should. And so I want to just say to you today, there's a wedding invitation for us all. Have we accepted it? He is saying, look, this is good news. Are you going to accept the good news? Because there is another thing which you will get if you don't accept this good news. It sounds so harsh, doesn't it? But this is true. God's word is true. The invitation goes far and wide. You see, the king still desires to have many at his wedding celebration. Even though many rejected this invitation, he now extends in his wonderful grace the invitation far and wide. This is so interesting. Okay? So interesting. I'm just going to nip over to Romans chapter 11 and just talk about this. Romans chapter 11, verses 11 and 12 says these words. "Again, I ask," he's talking about the Jews, "did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? No, not at all. Rather, because of their sin, their wrongdoing, their rejection of the wedding feast, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their wrongdoing means riches for the world and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring?" What is that talking about? That's talking about the wisdom of God, that this invitation went out to the Jews, but they rejected it. But because they rejected it, it's come to us. As non-Jews, the Gentiles, us who are far, far away from the kingdom of God. Now that is good news. And when the fullness, when all of us Gentiles have come into the kingdom, it will be again extended to the Jews. This is amazing. This is all in this wonderful parable. We need to pay attention. So because of the Jews rejecting Jesus' message, it's come to us. And Jesus describes in the parable, we are the good and the bad. You and me, the grace of God, and the wedding hall is filling. You know, the kingdom, or the church, should I say, at the moment has never been so large. We think of China, we think of parts of Africa, Asia. The church is huge. It's never been so large. Think about that wedding hall full, okay? And yet, here is possibly the most difficult verses of this parable in verses 11 and 12. Let's just read that again in verses 11 and 12. Let's put it up there. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, "How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?" The man was speechless. Okay, we'll leave it there for a moment. I just want to talk to you about our wedding. Didn't know I was going to do this, did you, Vic? So back in January 94, check that out.
Wow.
Thought you'd like that. Back in January 94, that's 1994, not 1894, Vic and I, this is a church on the, in Gorton, Evangelical Church on the main street over there. We became Christians in 93s, and we became Christians quite closely together. And we knew that it wasn't right for us to live together. We loved each other a lot, and we knew that it wasn't right for us to live together as without being married. So we got married very, very quickly, within 6 months. We just didn't hang around. And we organised the wedding. We organised the wedding quite quickly, okay? Our goal was not to have a massive wedding. That's my mum there, by the way. That's my mum there. Right? Our goal was not to have a massive wedding, but actually to fit our wedding into a normal Sunday service, okay? The reason we wanted to do that, my family are very much from London and the South and stuff like that, so is Victoria's mostly, and we wanted them to be part of a normal service with normal worship and a good preach, okay? We wanted them to get an invitation to another wedding, basically, all right? That was our goal. But hilariously, now, Gorton in those days, not that long ago, but Gorton was very different. 26 is quite a long time ago. There was no Tesco. That was a wasteland with a bit of a market, and it looked rough, right? And so we had guys travelling up from London who never left London. All they knew was Canary Wharf and some of the places like that. So as they pulled up in Gorton, I remember this one guy, his eyes widened as he looked at the streets and things, and he said, "Coronation Street isn't just a program." I mean, do you remember, Vic? He was dumbfounded. He couldn't stop looking around as if he'd landed on Mars. It was absolutely incredible. But as they came in, they found the church had been beautified, but they weren't ready for what we were going to sock to them, that was for sure. But we had the most amazing service. And we said to the guys, "Look, you know, you're all welcome. Everyone is welcome. There's no special invitations." But one of the best things that happened on the day, apart from getting married to my wonderful wife, was that a guy turned up for a normal Sunday service. This guy had forgotten that it was my wedding. So he turned up in clothes. He wasn't even as smart as me. He turned up in just his daily stuff. He walked in and saw there was a wedding taking place and thought, "I missed some of those notices." And he sat down. Now, it's hilarious. We've got a wedding video of him sat in his clothes. But the thing was, there was no shame in that wedding at all, because we wanted everyone to come and we made sure he was fully welcome. But I'm sure some of the guys from London were looking at him and saying, "Why is he here?" But this was a beautiful thing. We wanted it as open and as free as possible. Yet in this story, it's a whole different kettle of fish, isn't it? Now, why is this very different here? Again, we're talking about culture. See, in this culture, at a wedding, wedding clothes were provided before you went to the wedding, okay? So you were given wedding clothes that fitted. I don't know how they did it. They must have taken your measurements before the wedding and said, "Okay, we'll make that for you and we'll deliver it before the wedding." But the interesting thing was that this man in this story, in this parable, seemed to decide to himself, "Well, you know, I don't think I want to wear that. I'm going the way I want to go. I'm going to turn up and get entrance into this thing, and actually I don't care how I look." Can you see in this culture how insulting that would be? How insulting would that be if you went to the wedding of Harry and Meghan? and you turned up, right? If I turned up like this, I'm thinking I'm looking pretty cool. How would that look? How would that be? You wouldn't even get through the door, would you? You'd say, I'm sorry, fella, you might have an invitation, but you're not coming in. Yeah? It's insulting, especially in that culture. So this is the same as how we respond to God's invitation today. This is what God is talking about. This is what Jesus is wanting us to hear through this parable. How are we responding to God's invitation? Because, again, in the parable, someone said, well, you know, I don't know, I've got a lot of business going on. I can't make it. You know, I've got to go to my field, and Luke talks about it again, very similar parable. I've got to go and, I've just got married myself, so, I've got to do this and that. I've also, I've just bought some oxen, so I need to go and try them out. They're just stupid excuses. And we can do that today, can't we? I wonder if we're making excuses when we hear the invitation of God, maybe week in, week out. What do we say? Yeah? What are we expecting to happen when we die? This is a very serious question. You may say, and I've heard this many, many times, a long time ago we went door knocking in Gorton and we were asking people, if they wanted to come to the church, and they would say, it's okay, I'm born Catholic. That was one of the responses. It's okay, I'm not interested in that kind of thing. That was another response. All very common responses. Another common response would be, well, if they believed in a God, would be, God will save me, I've been a good person, I was raised Catholic maybe, or I give to charity, I've never hurt anyone, I've been good. If there's a God of love, he will not reject me. Seems to make very good common sense, doesn't it? And yet, in this parable, it's saying, actually, it's how you're dressed. Isn't that interesting? It's not about what you do, it's not about what you say, it's how you are dressed. So what does that mean? You see, man, it's very different in God's eyes, through God's eyes, than the things that we make up for ourselves. We have our own laws, don't we? And we exclude God from them and we say, well, this is the way of salvation. In John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5, it gives... Jesus tells or speaks exactly about this in another way. He says, I tell you the truth, the man who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. This man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls them his own sheep by name and leads them out, in and out. But there isn't another way to get in. If you come in another way, like this man did at the wedding, he describes you as a thief or a robber. Interesting, isn't it? See, there's many religions in this world. And many entrance requirements, okay? So for Islam, you've got the five pillars, which they are. Declare Allah as one God and Muhammad as his prophet. Pray five times a day. Fast at specific times, especially Ramadan. Pay an alms tax and make a pilgrimage to Mecca. Even then, you're not quite sure if you're going to be invited into heaven or not. The Buddhists, it's an eightfold path. So understand the universe, act right, speak right, have right intentions. And when you master those things, your spirit may return to God. Yet for Christianity and what Jesus puts forward, it's all have sinned against God, all have turned aside. Yet Jesus came in our place and saved us through his Son. Through Jesus to seek and to save the lost, and all those who call upon his name will be saved. So what is God, the King, alluding to by these wedding clothes? What is this talking about? This is clearly very important. When Jesus puts it right at the end of an important parable like this, he's wanting us to understand something. What is it about these wedding clothes that is so important? Over in Revelation 19, this gives us an idea of what Jesus is talking about right at the end of your Bible. So let me read it to you. This is amazing. This is right at the end of history when we're in heaven. He says, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding, listen, of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen and bright and clean was given to her to wear." Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. And over in Isaiah, he talks about it too. Isaiah 61 verse 10 says, "I delight greatly in the Lord, my soul rejoices in my God, for he has," listen to this, "he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head with like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." Isn't that beautiful? So what is the clothing we're given? Again, at the door, we're given, before heaven, in this life, we're given wedding clothes already. It's the salvation of Jesus. The robe of salvation is given to those who call upon his name. The whole reason Jesus came to earth was to pave away the way of salvation. The only way was to sinners, to die a sinner's death. That was the only way Jesus would come. That's why he came. He knew there was no sin. He had to become sin for us. This is a great divine exchange. He took upon our sin. He became sin for us. And we took on his robe of righteousness. Talks about the filthy rags that we have in our own righteousness. Yet we exchange those for his robe of righteousness. So the only entrance into this wedding, which is coming, guys, just as true as those things such as the demolition of Jerusalem took place in AD 70, there is also, just as true in history, there is a wedding of the Lamb coming too. And we are invited. But the only entrance into this wedding is not by our good works. It's not by any payment to charity. The only entrance into this wedding is how we are clothed. How are we clothed today? Are we clothed in the righteousness of Christ? And what is that? Being made right by Jesus' goodness, our faith in him, that we've called upon his name for salvation, that we are living for him. That we're not just doing, but we've received the salvation of God. So there's an invitation. There's still an invitation today to come. In this room, even from my voice, which is far from perfect, there's an invitation coming today. Do you know that? To all of us in this room. I wonder if you... Can you say to me, "Yes, I've accepted that invitation. I know I've accepted that invitation. Those servants came to my door and I said, yes, I'll be there." And you are waiting for that call. And when that call comes for the day, and that's when Jesus will come back. And you'll meet him, if we're alive, we'll meet him in the clouds. Yeah? We'll be raised. And we'll go straight to that wedding of the Lamb. Isn't that amazing? Are you ready? Are you ready? Very, very serious situation. There is no more serious situation. There is still an invitation today. Or are we too busy? Are we saying, "Well, I've got a lot of business to do. I'm busy, busy, busy with my family. I've got this to do, that to do. Yeah, I'd like to come, but I'm actually a little bit busy." Hebrews 9:27 says these words, "It's appointed for man to die once, then the judgment." Some religions believe that you will be given a second chance. Some believe you'll be raised as something else, an animal. But Christianity, Jesus says, it's appointed for man to die once, and then there's a judgment. How are we today with that? Today is a day of salvation. Are we clothed correctly?